Welcome, everyone, to Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries. I'm Pastor Marcia McAllister. Welcome to the program. We're glad you are joining us today. We are in such agreement with Brother Ken, who just signed off from his Gospel Highlight show, that the Bucks, we hope, are going to pull this one out. We are in agreement here. He's shaking his head in the control room. I'm believing it's happening, and he's going to give me a report in a moment. And, of course, you all know that we're all kind of diehard football fans. What can you say? It's just a great, great sport. So we enjoy it. We're glad you've tuned in to the show today, and hopefully you listen to Gospel Highlights right before us. If not, try tuning in earlier, and you can catch their show. I believe it begins at 2:30. Is that Brother Ken? 2:30 to 4. All right. So we're glad you're with us today, and we are in 1 Kings chapter 17, so you can find your Bible and get there in just a moment. But first of all, we just want to praise God for all the fantastic answers to prayer that He continues to provide. We've had some that were ill. One of our radio team, Alice, was in the hospital this week, and she is out of the hospital doing great. And we are continuing to pray for her. And we've had some others that have just seen God's hand of healing upon their life in such a dramatic way. And we praise God for that. We always invite you to send any prayer request to our crisis prayer line. And that is 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And it is simply prayers at beaconofhopeministries.com. That's the email address. And we have Alice, we have Deb, we have Pastor Jim. Somebody will pick up that request and get that sent out to the radio team. So again, the address, if you have a need even during the show and you want prayer, go right ahead and send an email to prayers at Beacon of Hope Ministries, that ends in IES, beaconofhopeministries.com. So we invite you to do that. And a lot of people are on that prayer team now. And if you would like to be a part of that prayer team, you can simply also write that same address, prayers at beaconofhopeministries.com, and say, hey, include me in the prayer team. I want to be praying for the needs that come in, because there are needs from all over the United States and some different countries. Sometimes we get a request from somebody that's not even in the United States. So we absolutely want the privilege of being able to pray for your needs, and you can contact us that way by email, prayers at beaconofhopeministries.com. If you're in the Tampa Bay area, of course, we welcome you to any of our services. This morning, Sunday morning service was at 11. It was a powerful service. God moved mightily, and we started a new series. I started a new series this morning, and it's entitled The Power of Prosperity. The Power of Prosperity. And we're really going to be talking about what God says about our finances in the next 2 or 3 weeks here on the radio show that we have every Sunday from 4 to 6 at this time. So the power of prosperity is our topic, and we're going to see what God says about giving and tithing, but especially what He wants to do in your personal finances. And it's really a powerful message, and we're believing that you will take some notes, tell a friend, maybe somebody that you know is having some financial difficulties. Now is the time, as we begin a new year, to get a hold of the truth of God's Word where our finances are concerned. And it's a powerful thing to know what God's will is for you when it comes to your finances, which is what we're going to talk about in a moment. Before we get there, we've got to start with a song that I absolutely, one of my favorite songs. This is a Chris Rice rendition of an old song that many of us know. Great is Thy Faithfulness. Powerful song. Listen.
Great is Thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with Thee. Thou changest not Thy compassions, they fail not. As Thou hast been, Thou forever will be.
faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Summer and winter, springtime and harvest, sun, moon, and stars in their courses. Join with all nature in manifold witness to thy great faithfulness, mercy, and love. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness, morning. I see all I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Pardon for sin. That endureth thine own dear presence to cheer and to guide. Strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. Blessings all mine with 10,000 beside. Faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness,
Praise God. Great is thy faithfulness. All right. What a great way to start this show today. Talking about the faithfulness of God and how he continues to be there for us and provide for us, even at times when maybe we're not that close to him. God, it takes care of us and provides for us. Great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. That song, it came from the scripture in Lamentations chapter 3, where it says those very words, morning by morning, new mercies I see, great is thy faithfulness. Today we're talking about the power of prosperity, of God blessing you financially, that is actually a power in your life. We are going to talk about 1 Kings chapter 17, and we'll get there in a moment. But first, I want you to realize that what we teach you about your finances and about prosperity is all completely rooted in God's Word. The Word of God is and must be the final authority in our lives on all the issues that concern us. Now, so often we get caught up in our lives. We get busy. Maybe we go through a period of time where we're not much in the Word. We're not studying it. Maybe we're not attending services. We're not growing spiritually. And it's in those times, a lot of times, that our defenses are down, when we are not studying the Word and getting strengthened by the Word, where the devil comes in and really just kicks us around, you know, and just maybe causes all kinds of things, disasters to happen and things to happen. Maybe we open the door to the devil working overtime in our finances because we aren't studying the Word. We don't know what the Scripture really says about our finances. And we get caught up in the day-to-day routine of life, and we forget that God says to us that His Word must be the final authority in our lives. Let me read you a couple verses that say just that. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17 says this. Paul wrote this to Timothy. 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17. All Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. What is that saying? That's saying that the Scripture teaches us, trains us, that Scripture is there for helping us to accomplish all that God would have us accomplish. And when we learn the principles of God's Word, what God's Word says about the different areas in our life, maybe what God's Word says about our emotions, what God's Word says about depression, or what God's Word says about lack, let's say, in our finances, and we begin to realize that God has a desire for our lives. God has a clear-cut plan for our lives. Now, we don't always fall in line with that plan of God, but God does have a desire for you, and He wants you to prosper. He wants you to prosper, not just emotionally. He doesn't want you just to prosper spiritually. He wants you to prosper in your finances, and we're going to talk about that, the power of prosperity. The whole essence of this is that the Word of God has to become the final authority in our lives. So let's look at Psalm 35:27 before we get to 1 Kings. Psalm 35:27 is one of my favorite verses in the Bible. And David wrote this, and he says, let us, excuse me, just a minute. Let me just quote you the last half of that verse. It says, let them say continually, the Lord be magnified who delights in the prosperity of His servant. The Lord be magnified who delights in the prosperity of His servant. Now, what is that saying? That is saying that God wants you prosperous. God delights in your prosperity. God loves it that you have your needs met. That's the goal. Philippians 4:19 says, my God shall supply all of my needs according to His riches in glory in Christ Jesus. And we are going to hang our hat on these scriptures as we teach this series on prosperity because of 2 Timothy 3:16 that says all Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be adequate and equipped for every good work. So we are going to rely on what God's Word says to us about our finances. Deuteronomy chapter 8 says this. There is a verse in about verse 3 or 4 that says that you need to learn that men and women don't live by bread alone. We live by every word that comes from God's mouth. We don't just live by physical bread, you know, driving through Wendy's or going to the grocery, but we live by every word that comes from God's mouth. So what are we saying right now? We're saying that God's Word must be established in our lives as the final authority. And what God says about a subject should be what we fall in line with and what we come into agreement with. So what we're talking here today is about God providing for our financial and our physical needs. So now let's go to 1 Kings chapter 17, and we find the story of Elijah. And Elijah had gone to the wicked King Ahab and had said to King Ahab, here's what God is saying to you, Ahab. There's going to be drought. there's going to be no rain on the earth until God says there's going to be rain. Now, Ahab, it does not say what Ahab's response was right there in 1 Kings 17, about verse 1. But Elijah says, as sure as God lives, the God of Israel, before whom I stand and am in obedient service, the next years are going to see a total drought. Now, we know that that drought actually ended up lasting 3.5 years. Now, in verse 2, God then tells Elijah, all right, you know, you just gave a very strong word to King Ahab. He's probably not going to be real happy about that. And I want you to go someplace where I can provide for you. You know, dear ones, God allows us to go through situations from time to time where he just kind of pulls us away over to himself for a little while. Excuse me, just a minute. And he provides for us maybe in a way that we hadn't originally thought he would. God has plans sometimes that maybe we never would have thought that God could plan that. In fact, we're going to talk more about God's plans in a little while. But here's what God said to Elijah. He told Elijah, he said, get out of here. I'm in the Message Bible. In about verse 2 of 1 Kings 17, he says to Elijah, get out of here fast, head east, and hide out at the Kereth Ravine on the other side of the Jordan River. So he told Elijah specifically where to go, that God was going to provide for him. God had a plan. God would take care of Elijah, and he knew exactly, God knew exactly how he was going to provide for him. And he says here in verse 4 of 1 Kings 17, you can drink fresh water from the brook. That's cool. So he's provided the water. And he says, and I've ordered the ravens to feed you. Birds to feed Elijah. And that is what God said. Now, it's very interesting that we have no record of Elijah arguing with God. Now, a lot of us probably would, if we were told to go and take this trip and hang out over by this brook, and we could drink water out of the brook, and that a bird would come with two meals a day for us, it might be really hard for most of us to grab a hold of that and say, okay, I choose to believe that God, you're going to do that. Elijah, this man of God, did believe what God said to him, and he went, and he got to that brook. And we do not know how long he was there, but it says that Elijah obeyed God's orders. I'm in verse 5 of 1 Kings 17. Elijah obeyed God's orders. He went and camped in this place by the Jordan River. And here's what he did. It says here that sure enough, the ravens brought him his meals, both breakfast and supper. And he drank from the brook. It does not say that he had to eat worms or that he had to eat sticks or anything like that. It says that he had two meals a day that God provided in a very unusual way. But that's the first miracle. And that's a really cool miracle that God provided. You see, one of the things, if you're taking notes today, God provides for us financially sometimes in ways that we can't even begin to imagine. In fact, one of the principles that I want you to write on your paper, if you're taking notes, is we need to stop trying to figure out how God is going to provide for us. So often we feel like, oh, well, so-and-so is going to give me X amount of dollars, or this is going to happen a certain way. And God's word says that we should quit worrying and fretting, and we're going to talk more about that, about how we are going to be provided for. Instead, we're just to start thanking God that we are going to be provided for. And that is huge. And obviously, Elijah fell into this plan of God, because it does not say here that Elijah was complaining. It doesn't say that he was bellyaching about this. What do you mean, God? You're going to feed me by ravens bringing me food? You got to be kidding. That can't happen. None of that. We do not see that at all. We simply see in verse 5 of 1 Kings 17, Elijah obeyed God's orders. That's the whole sentence. That's the first sentence of verse 5. Elijah obeyed God's orders. Wow. That is for all of us to hear. Isn't that a good example to us? And it says he went and he did this. And sure enough, the ravens brought him his meals, both breakfast and supper, and he drank from the brook. Now, in verse 7, you see, God loves to keep us on our toes. I believe this with all my heart. He will provide for us sometimes in a certain way, maybe a certain job. And then suddenly things begin to go bad in that job, or you just know in your heart that it's time to move on to something else. And maybe your provision comes through a different employer. Maybe your provision comes through a different method. And this is what happened in 1 Kings 17. The first miracle there by God feeding Elijah with the water from the brook and the food that the ravens brought twice a day was the first miracle. Now we see God says, all right, we're going to influence some more people by this. That was just affecting Elijah. Now we're going to take it into the next dimension. And the next dimension is going to affect somebody else. And God so often does that. Perhaps he provides a certain way, maybe just through a job for you financially. And then he broadens you because his goal is always to cause you to learn. Listen to this. His goal, God's goal for you is always to cause you to learn more dependence on him. More dependence on him. So how does he do that? Well, a lot of times the brook dries up where you've been. A job dries up. A situation dries up. You no longer have that income. Perhaps you were qualifying for some type of income and then that went away and you don't have that anymore. So here we see Elijah being stretched. Now, that's a word that maybe some of us have a hard time with. God does love to stretch his people. He always wants us to have to learn to follow his voice and experience a deeper place in God. And so God will take us from one victory to another victory, from one situation to another one. And a lot of times, maybe the second situation or third or fourth or tenth requires more faith on our part. So we get to this next situation and God tells him to go to Zarephath. And this is a community, and God says specifically, here's what I'm going to have happen. He says, go there and live there. Live there, not just pass by. He says, I tell you to go there and live there. He said, I've instructed a woman who lives there, a widow, to feed you. Well, that all sounds well and good. Oh, great. Now I don't have to. Elijah may have been thinking, all right, now that's cool because it was the ravens feeding me. Now I get to go to this town and this widow is going to feed me. Well, that may sound well and good, except the widow had some very bad circumstances we're going to read about in 1 Kings 17. And we're in verse 10. So he gets to this town. And as he comes to the entrance of the village, and of course, again, this is not a coincidence. This is the way God set it up. He met a woman, a widow, gathering firewood. So Elijah says to her, and I know God's voice down inside of Elijah must have said, hey, Elijah, this is the one. And so he says to the widow, please, would you bring me a little water in a jug? I need a drink. And she went to get it. He called out, and while you're at it, would you bring me something to eat? Well, that doesn't sound like such a bad request. Hey, would you give me some water and would you bring me something to eat? Well, that wouldn't be so bad, except this woman had some very bad circumstances herself. And so in verse 12 of 1 Kings 17, the woman says this, I swear, as surely as your God lives. See, she immediately recognized Elijah as sent from God, because she says, your God lives, as sure as your God lives. So she's recognizing that Elijah is serving the living God, okay? And she declares that. And she says, I don't have so much as a biscuit. She didn't even have a biscuit, is what it says in the Message Bible. But, and by the way, it's okay to tell God, hey, here's what I don't have. I don't have the money for this electric bill. I don't have the money for this. It's okay to state your case to God, okay? If you're taking notes, write that down. It's okay for me to state my case, okay? And then she says, I have a handful of flour in a jar and a little oil in a bottle. She had two things. She had some flour and she had some oil. And she said, you found me scratching together just enough firewood to make a last meal for my son and me. After we eat it, we'll die. So she already knew she was on her last bit of hope here. She was at the end and scraping the bottom of the barrel with the flour and with the oil that she had to make anything to eat. And so her plan was to go get a little bit of firewood, you know, and make a little fire and make this last meal for her and for her son. And then they were going to eat it and then they were going to die because she did not see that she would be provided for. And some of you out there may be feeling some of that same thing right now. Maybe your financial situation is so bad that you think that you're at the end of your rope and there's no answer. Now, we're going to talk about this with Carol, and I think she's on the line. Is she, Bill? There she is. Carol, do you know where we are here in the story?
Well, I think we're in the story where we're talking about the woman that Elijah visited.
Yes, absolutely. And welcome, by the way. And you're one of our regular radio team contributors and up there in Georgia. And before we get to the widow, have you guys survived all that nasty weather you've been having?
We managed to survive it. It was a beautiful Christmas. First time since 1882 that there had been any snow.
Wow.
On Christmas Day. And
wow.
So it was a wonderful time, time of joyous celebration, and the earth was beautiful.
Cool.
And now it's come back to the sunshine. All of the snow was gone. It left about 2 days afterwards. So
okay.
Everything, once again, is in its rightful place, and God is in the heavens.
Okay. All right. So now we have your report. Now, let's get back to the widow here. She didn't have such a good report, Carol. She was at a place where she didn't know how she was going to be provided for past one more meal. You know, and Elijah, we talked about a minute ago, Elijah had just been provided for a period of time. We don't know how long, but for quite some time by this brook with fresh drinking water. God sent ravens morning and night, so he had two meals a day. The ravens brought him, I think they kind of flew through Outback or, let's see, a drive up, maybe Wendy's or McDonald's or whatever. But they had, Elijah was provided meals, it says, not just, you know.
No, he had manna from heaven and quail.
Exactly. He had something. He had something substantial to eat, breakfast and supper, and he drank from the brook. And then the brook dried up. And as so often happens in a lot of our lives, maybe God provides for us in a certain way, a certain job, a certain set of circumstances. And then that situation changes and our life changes and God moves us into a new provision. Okay. And
okay.
So here we are on the second provision. And this provision is God tells Elijah, get up and go to this little village and you're going to find a widow there and she's going to provide for you. Okay. And it says in verse 9, I've instructed a woman who lives there, a widow, to feed you. Well, that would be fine if the widow had anything to feed him.
You know, don't you sometimes have an unexpected guest and you wonder, oh, my goodness, will they eat what I've got ready to put on the table or
right.
Do I need to do better?
Exactly. You know, and
can you imagine her panic?
Well, I mean, Elijah just assumes, okay, great. Now, well, all right, no more raven feeding. I'm headed off to this little town, and there's a widow there who's going to feed me. Except that the widow didn't have anything to feed him, you know, in her mind.
Yeah.
She said, I swear, I'm in verse 12. She said, I swear as surely as your God lives. Now, we know she recognized God living in Elijah. Because of that sentence, that she recognized God's hand in all this. And then she says, I don't have so much as a biscuit. So it's okay. I made this point a moment ago. It's okay to say to God, I don't have the money for that electric bill. I don't have the money for the rent. I don't have the money for this or that. And put that before God. Because here's what she said. Here's what I do have. I have a handful of flour in a jar and a little oil in a bottle. You found me scratching together just enough firewood to make a last meal for my son and me. After we eat it, we'll die. Those are her circumstances. And do you agree with me, Carol, that it's okay to say to God, okay, here's my circumstances. I don't have any means of doing this.
I certainly think that is what he expects us to do, is to be forthright and honest and say, by my own provision, I have nothing.
Okay.
Be it a place to live, be it transportation, be it food on the table, be it good health.
Right.
We say to him, I, as a human being, have nothing.
I can't do it.
I must turn all of my cares over to you.
Yes.
And that's when he steps in and says, stand back, sweetie, because it's going to be a glorious day. Just let me be the one that leads.
Oh, yeah. So you agree with me that God says, it's okay. Tell me how it is.
That's right. I agree that he wants us to sit down and talk to him. He wants us to recognize that in our own humanness, we have no power to do anything.
Carol, don't you find it interesting, because you and I have lived a few years now, and we've seen so many seasons in our lifetimes. I know I have, and I know you have too, where God provided for us. I know you were a teacher for 30-some years, right?
Yes.
Okay, so for all those years, God provided for you through your teaching income. There were years that you were also a goat farmer, and you had sheep, and you had all kinds of things, didn't you?
Well, the one thing I never had in my lifetime that had four legs or even two and wings was the sheep.
Oh, you didn't have one.
Never
okay.
I put the sheep and the goats together because,
all right.
You know, scripturally they don't mesh.
That's true.
They don't mesh, believe it or not. They don't mesh in herds.
Okay. But you had a ranch. You had a farm. You saw the ways that God provided for you through those years, did you not? I mean, there were a lot of times
yes.
that you weren't sure how you were going to feed some yes. of those animals, right?
Well, but, you know, there was a, you know, I remember one time when Hurricane Frederick was coming.
Okay.
And we knew it was going to be a dead-on hit to Polk County, which, of course, is where I was reared and taught for
right.
those years.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a farm full of animals, and I'm going, oh, my goodness, I just don't know if my barns are sturdy enough. I don't know if I'll be able to get out to get feed or whatever.
Right.
And so God provided in that. My friend had over 2,000 acres and a humongous barn, and she came over with her trailer and her truck and insisted that I take all of my animals and my hay that I had acquired in the barn and bring it to hers. So he provided that for me. It was peace of mind.
Praise God.
Didn't have to be concerned. But in the meantime, when I realized that this storm was imminent, I began to ask him, please show me how I can take care of these animals, how I can feed them and provide safety, not only for them, but, of course, for me.
Right.
And I realized when her truck was rolling down the road, she had heard God's voice as well.
And that's a huge point right there, Carol, and I want people to write this down if they're taking notes. God provides for us in our situation, sometimes in very unusual ways or ways that we wouldn't have thought God's going to do something, and then there it is. But the truth of the matter is that underlying all this is God does provide. That's what we're talking about here with this whole subject of prosperity, and that God delights in our prosperity. He loves us to be provided for. God never says, you know, I want you to be hungry. I want you to be poor. I want you to have holes in the bottom of your shoes. He doesn't say that, does he?
Not really. And can you imagine why he chose this woman?
I think it's interesting, isn't it?
You know, it's interesting that he told Elijah, go to this woman. Now, he could have said, you know, technically, I suppose, go to any other village, go to this man, go to this merchant, do whatever. But he said, go to this woman who has nothing.
Right.
You see the provision that she was able, which as little as it was, to give Elijah. She also reaped the benefits of her faithfulness in doing it.
Well, see, she recognized God in Elijah, so
yes, she
was obviously a believer.
It was something she must do, and look
right.
how he provided for her after she took that first act of faithfulness. Her oil never ran dry, and her meal and flour never was
exactly.
empty again.
Oh, it's just a fabulous story of God's provision, but before we get to that point, I want to go back to what you just said here, because this is a good point. Why her? Why this widow who didn't have anything, who was about to make her last meal, and then she and her son were going to die from starvation? Why did God use that woman?
I would venture to say it was because of her faithfulness and her ability to recognize
mm-hmm.
that he had sent
yes.
Elijah, and that Elijah was with and of God.
Exactly. I think so, too.
She recognized him as a holy man.
Right. Well, the Isaiah 1:19 says that God is, it says this, if you consent and obey, you will eat the good of the land, okay? And it also says in 2 Chronicles that God's eyes are looking all the time around the world to see those whose hearts are completely his. And then he steps in and he moves in those situations. And if there are people listening to us today that really are just about on their last dollar or don't know how God is going to supply this for this bill or pay this bill, God wants you to hear that quit trying to figure out how God's going to do it and just trust God that he will do it. That's the point.
It's giving up of ourselves and saying, okay, I've got to realize I am human. I cannot be in all places. I cannot do all things.
Right.
But I know the person who can, and I know him well, and I call him Jesus.
Amen.
Because he hears the voice of his Father God,
mm-hmm.
and he comes to us and says, I'm here to rescue you.
Right.
But you know what's amazing to me is the number of times that he sends Jesus, God sends Jesus to rescue,
right.
or even the Holy Spirit, and we as people turn and say, no, it might be in the form of, sometimes God sends you people that you don't want to take anything from. You don't want to associate with them because they've been scoundrels.
Yeah.
But he sends that person because he's working on their heart as well as yours. He's working on theirs for a different reason and working on yours for a different reason.
Well, that's a good point because, interestingly enough, this woman's on her last leg financially, okay? Now, she was used of God in a tremendous way here to provide for Elijah, but in so doing, she provided for herself and for her son, and for a very long period of time, more than likely, the drought was 3.5 years, and we know by at the end of the story that she never ran out of her provision, which we're going to talk more about that in just a few minutes. But interestingly enough, God saw her need, and more than likely she had cried out to God, I don't know what I'm going to do. I have no way of taking care of my child or for me. I don't know. And God said, yeah, let me handle this. And so here's Elijah who doesn't know how he's going to be provided for. He knows he's moved on from the brook, but he doesn't know how God's going to take care of him. Two people. It's interesting, don't you think?
I think it's very interesting, and especially when you consider the fact that, you know, she must have called out because there was no man there to help her in the household.
Right,
the
she
family,
was a widow.
Obviously.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And that's where the provisions came
mm-hmm.
from.
Usually,
you know? But there was no one there. So she called out to God and said, you know, I have this boy. I cannot feed him after this meal, and I have nothing.
Right.
We're just going to lie down and die. You know, at the moment that she was ready to give up, what happened? Did you hear the trumpets blow? Did you hear Jesus say, I'm coming. I'm coming. I'm sending Elijah.
Amen. And powerfully, there he is. He sends Elijah to her. And we're going to talk more about this after a song in a few minutes, Carol. But in verse 13 of 1 Kings 17, Elijah says to her, don't worry about a thing. Go ahead and do what you've said. But first, make a small biscuit for me, he says to her, because God was telling him to say this, bring it back here. Then go ahead and make a meal from what's left for you and your son. And this is the word of the God of Israel. Now here's where the miracle comes in. The jar of flour will not run out. The bottle of oil will not become empty before God sends rain on the land and ends this drought. And in verse 15, we see she went right off and did it just as Elijah asked. And we're going to come back and finish that in a moment. We're going to do this song, Carol, and then we're going to talk about this. This song is by Natalie Grant. What are you waiting for?
Sometimes I get that overwhelming feeling. So sad, the faces on TV. If I try to make a difference, would it help anyway? But then I stop and to myself I say, so you wanna change the world? What are you waiting for? You say you're gonna start right now. What are you waiting for?
What are you waiting for? My Natalie Grant, you're listening to Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries. So my engineer just informs me we're not streaming live on the web right now. Is that correct?
That is correct. Our streaming computer hard drive crashed.
Okay. All right. So this, for any of you that know somebody that would be listening by web, which a lot of people do, tantalk1340.com. As of tomorrow morning, this show will be up on our website, beaconofhopeministries.com, that they can listen to it. And there might be a way that you're going to get something worked out here during the show, and if so, you'll let us know, correct?
That is correct. That way you can inform all your important people.
All right, cool.
And God's people.
Okay, thanks. All right, Carol, are you there?
Oh, yeah.
So you guys have no web capacity up there right now?
No, Maxine had told me earlier before I called in that there was none.
Yeah, it crashed. So
yeah, I'm in the living room where I typically hold court, and she's in the office watching it or trying to watch it. So
okay, yeah, the internet guy's on his way, but you know what that tells me? The devil doesn't want people hearing this message. You know, so
this is the message that Satan is not happy to hear.
Because
he does not want us to understand that we can be blessed and that our lives can be turned over totally to Christ so that he helps us make good, good decisions.
Well, and that we understand that he will provide for us, you know? And I think the devil has done such a snow job on people for so long to try to get them to believe that they are, you know, they're full of doubt, worry, they're full of lack. You know, that, oh, God's not going to come through for me now. God's name gets a bad rap, you know? And
a
couple weeks ago when I was teaching on the name of Jesus, one of the names of Jesus is Prosperer.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me. Go ahead and comment on that while I get a drink.
Well, Prosperer simply means that he is the provider. He is the one that brings blessings and goodness to your life. But you really have to ask him to. And I think in talking about this woman with Elijah, when she says, we're going to just lie down and die, I think that's figuratively what God really does when you say those statements. You know, if you say, well, I just can't do this, I can't pay this bill, I can't buy this, I can't do this, then God just sits and waits for you to say, I'm not able to do it. And then he becomes the prosperer. Jesus becomes the prosperer and fulfills what we need. We don't always get what we want, and sometimes you better be real careful what you ask for.
Exactly.
You may not want it once you get it.
Well, the word has got to be the final authority in our lives, and I said that at the beginning of the show, that it is all about what the word says. Faith comes from hearing and hearing by the word of Christ. So as we begin to understand that what the word says about our finances is the final authority, not what we might feel or not the worry that may be generating in our gut because we don't know how we're going to pay a bill, but it's the word.
Part of prosperity because
yes.
I think it not only comes in ways of finances, but I think it comes in health. You know, when you receive or someone you know or love or that you're praying with on a daily basis or whatever receives a bad report and the doctor says, hey, you know, there's nothing we can do. You just need to go home and cash in all your bonds and sit there and wait.
Yeah.
At that very moment when all hope seems to be lost.
Right.
The God of hope steps in.
Amen.
And he prospers us with good health. He prospers us with...
Gloucester. Wow. Boy, I tell you what, listening audience.
He's trying to screw it up.
Oh, my. I mean, that's amazing. So the word that we are saying today, we are talking about that God wants to prosper us and that his word says that. And we remember what Psalm 35:27 says. Let them say continually, the Lord be magnified who delights in the prosperity of his servant. God delights in our prosperity, and God wants you to be prosperous. He wants you to realize that he will provide for you, and he wants you to grab a hold of that truth. Do we have her back? No. Okay, well, this is interesting. That's all right. Okay, so we apologize, listening audience. We're having all kinds of technical problems right now. We've lost the signal for the web. The hard drive crashed. And now we've lost Carol, my guest today. And that's okay. We're just going to pursue. We're going to take authority over these problems right now in the name of Jesus. And we're going to get this word out. You know, the devil doesn't want you to know that God will provide for you. The devil does not want you to know that my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. The devil does not want you to know that. The devil wants you to sit around and worry. In fact, John 10:10 says this, the thief, meaning Satan, comes to steal, kill, and destroy. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. What does the devil always try to do? He tries to steal from you, kill you, destroy your finances, to take money away from you, to take your provision away. That's what the devil tries to do. In John 10:10, Jesus said, I came to give you life and to give it abundantly. And Carol, is the devil not working overtime? Do we just get you back now?
Yeah, you just got me back. I don't know for how long because all during our I don't know if you can hear it, but all during the time that I've called in, I hit blank spots, and I don't hear you, and I don't hear anything, and all of a sudden it'll click back on. So, you know, the airwaves are ruled by little demons anyway. So.
We don't know what's going on here. We do know the hard drive crashed for the web, so we do know that, but somebody's on their way about that. But I was just saying that the devil doesn't want our listening audience to hear that God is our provider. That's God, right. Wants to prosper us. The devil wants people to stay broke and unhappy and miserable and depressed and frustrated. That's what the devil wants. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. The devil comes to steal our finances and our peace. Do you want to comment on all that?
Well, when he does that, then we become faithless.
Yes.
Because we realize that, well, it's just another situation where everything is against me and everybody's against me, and I just don't have what it takes. Or instead of saying, okay, now listen, devil, I know that you've got an issue here in my life and you're trying to come in and take complete control just like you is right now of these airwaves.
Right.
That's when we have to proclaim and say, get behind me.
Amen.
Not interfere with my life. Get away. And that's when we, second thing we should start doing is say, God, protect me, God, protect me, God, protect me. Send me Jehovah Jireh, my provider.
Amen.
I trust and believe in you to care for me.
Amen.
And look out for me and teach me and bring me wisdom.
I so agree. And I find it interesting that we have a responsibility in our own prosperity. And I am going to say that again for some people that might be writing things down. We have a responsibility in our own prosperity. We have a part to play in it. And so often, I think people sit back and they just allow circumstances, bad things to happen. You know that book that was written a long time back, Why Do Bad Things Happen to Good People? Well, a lot of what happens is people get kind of lazy, Carol. They just let things happen, or they don't stand up and fight and do something. This widow lady had to do something about her circumstances.
You know, it's just like it is in the financial situation right now, people losing their homes and their jobs.
Right.
When they were prosperous, when they did have good paychecks coming in, they overindulged themselves.
Right. It happened a lot. Yes.
You know, not only did they buy their dream home and send the kids to their favorite universities and colleges, but they began to buy all the toys.
Right.
Now they're finding it very difficult, number one, to get rid of the toys to put money back in the house. And they weren't thanking, a lot of them, I won't say they weren't, but a lot of people were not thanking God for the prosperity they had.
Right.
And the blessings that they had. So now what's happening is they're losing things and they're blaming God.
Right. And so then that just plays right into the devil's, the devil loves that when everybody's mad at God. The devil wants you mad at God. The devil wants you questioning God. The devil wants you going, God, you did this and I'm mad and frustrated, when the blame should not be on God. Sometimes it's just on circumstances, job loss, economy is bad. Things happen. You know, I've been a realtor for 20 years and the last few or four or five have been really tough because the economy has been very bad in the housing industry here in Florida. I mean, the second worst in the nation. So we have been extremely hit hard. And I don't say, God, you did this. I mean, this is just a sign of the times. It's something happening. But through the difficult times, we still must take a stand and say, God is my provider. God is my source. And God will provide for me. My God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus.
Well, you know, when those kinds of things happen, we have to, I think, and this is my own personal view, I think we need to stand back and look and say, what have I put in my life that I can live without?
Right, exactly.
Do I need to go to Cabo San Lucas every other weekend?
Right.
Do I need to go out and buy a new Mercedes or a new Ford pick-em-up truck or whatever? Can I get by with what I have until circumstances change?
It does do that. I think that this economic situation in our nation has forced a lot of people into a reevaluation of their priorities and, you know, where they need to put their money. And one of the things we're going to learn during this series in prosperity is that we have to learn what money of our paycheck belongs to God and what we're supposed to do with that, because it makes all the difference in the world. Because I want to go back to this point here. Let's look at verse 13 again of 1 Kings 17. Elijah said to the widow, "Don't worry about a thing." We'll talk about that in the next hour, Carol. "Go ahead and do what you've said, but first, and Matthew 6:33 says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these other things shall be added unto you," which I think is huge, because the prophet Elijah says, first, you know, yeah, I know you're down to your last little oil and your last little flour, but first make a small biscuit for me. That's what Elijah said to her, and bring it back here. Why did he say that, Carol?
Because I think it showed the faithfulness that she would have to hear his voice coming from Jesus, right, and God, to hear his voice. And if you're going to take care of your own responsibility and your own self, you must first have some degree of spirituality, that you take care of your spiritual responsibilities. And part of hers at that very moment was to take care of the prophet.
Exactly. Exactly. That was what it was. And also, this ties into what we're going to talk about in tithing in the next week or two, where God says, bring me your first 10%. Bring me your first offering, your tithe first. And that is what he was showing right here, I think, with this widow. First, make a small biscuit for me and bring it back here. Then go ahead and make a meal from what's left for you and your son. I think that right there is a huge lesson, one more time, in how we are to handle our finances.
And not only that, but I have to tell you, and you know that I'm very firm about this. When there is a pastor of a church, and the church does not tithe, the congregation does not tithe to that church, at least the 10%. If you've only made $5 a week, put your 50 cents in. If you have not made anything,
right,
then don't put anything. If you've made $500, you put your money in.
Right.
And take care. That money goes to pay the water bill, the light bill, the bulletins, and so forth and so on,
sure,
within the church body itself.
Right.
But the number one thing you should do is to take care of the prophet standing in front of you. And
right,
if you don't take care of that prophet, the church, in my opinion, will always have an empty purse.
Right. Yes, because that is scripture.
By doing that, by filling
right,
the coffers of the church and the congregation, contributing their 10% and more.
Right.
There's nothing that says you can't give 20, 25, whatever you feel led to do in that direction. But by doing that, you're allowing the word to be taken into the streets,
yes,
into the lives of people who have not heard the name yet of Jesus and who do not know what he can do. But the number one thing in a church is to care for the prophet. And I'm very strongly attached to that theory.
Yes, well, it's the truth. And that's interesting here, that very thing you're saying is borne out in this story in 1 Kings 17, where the prophet Elijah says to the widow, you know, bring me the biscuit first, you know. And
yep.
She could have argued and said, wait a minute, I think I'll provide for my little son first and then see if there's anything left over. But she operated in faith, knowing that this was God speaking through the prophet to her. And it said, this is the word of the God of Israel. And this is what Elijah said to her. I'm in about verse 14. The jar of flour will not run out, and the bottle of oil will not become empty before God sends rain on the land and ends this drought, which we know was about 3.5 years. And
yeah,
she went right off and did it, just as Elijah asked. Now, that's obedience right there. She went right and did what Elijah said. And we're going to talk about that on the other side of station identification. Carol, hang with me.
WTAN, Clearwater, Tampa, St. Petersburg. WDCF, Dade City, Zephyr Hills, and Wesley Chapel. And KLRG, Sheridan, Little Rock, Arkansas.
All right. You're listening to Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries in Clearwater, Florida. I'm Pastor Marcia McAllister. My guest today is Carol from up in Georgia. We're having some technical problems, Carol, but we're moving forward. Bill, are we making any progress in there? Well, the engineer is in there trying to help.
He's working very hard. And also, I sent an email over there to our internet lady.
And okay, all right.
I had her name Maxine.
Maxine.
She's got the link, so if she wants to put it, it's streaming live right now.
It's streaming live through
Blog Talk Radio.
Through Blog Talk Radio. Okay.
And how would you find that?
Go to our website, beaconofhopeministries.com, right?
Yep, she's working on putting a link up there.
She's going to put a link up there right now, and that will get you to connect to the internet. So
for the next hour.
Unless he fixes it before that. You'll tell us, right?
All right. I just hope I have that right address. I think she's got it. So
webmaster@beaconofhopeministries.com.
Okay, webmaster@beaconofhopeministries.com. Thank you so much.
Okay. All right. So we're glad you've joined us today. We're sorry for the technical difficulties. As always, on Mondays, Bill records our show while we're doing it live, and he always sends it to me by email. We get it to Maxine, our webmaster in Georgia, and it is up on our website. It'll be on tomorrow. So if you know someone who lost the signal this afternoon, you can let them know that by tomorrow it will be up on our website, beaconofhopeministries.com. Isn't that cool, Carol, that we are able to do that? Thanks to Bill, our engineer, we're able to make sure that all of our radio shows are up there on our website for those to listen that can't maybe catch it live on Sunday afternoon.
I think Bill may not completely understand nor realize this, but by doing that, by recording these and sending them to the webmaster Maxine in Georgia,
right,
he is also becoming a member at large, if you will,
yes,
for the ministry.
Yes, he is. He knows.
His ministry, to get it there, he could easily say, no, you guys, if you can't do it live and you can't hear it, that's just tough.
Yeah.
He doesn't. He takes on that ministry, which has become a ministry to him, to get it done.
That's exactly right. And
I see more and more of him showing more and more concern about it. It's almost like that he's found this baby that he wants to rock and make sure that its little swaddling clothes don't get all messed up.
Well, it's so true. In fact, he keeps saying he's going to come to Bible study on Wednesday night, and he hasn't made it yet. And he's in the control room right now laughing, but he knows he's going to make it someday. Carol, what happens on Wednesday night at Beacon of Hope?
Wednesday night at Beacon of Hope is a fun time. It begins with a prayer service, people asking for prayer, receiving prayer, and making their request known and their supplications, and people pray about that. There's open prayer that somebody will say, would you please pray this, and then it will be done. And as soon as that finishes, we go right into the next hour of studying the Bible. And it is a true in-depth study of the Bible.
Yep.
You don't sit down to a pamphlet and fill out questionnaires or fill in the answers. It is an interactive period of time in a meeting that you lead and direct, or sometimes Pastor Jim and sometimes Pastor Michelle.
Right.
And you lead and direct it, and it becomes very interactive, and people can ask questions, and they can expound upon something that they've heard, or they can ask, why is this taking place in this particular situation in Scripture? And it's a marvelous time. It's something you don't want to end when it ends. You keep, because it always ends with an excitement about it, and you're thinking, oh, man, I wish we could stay another hour.
And it's true. And it starts at 7, gets done about 8:30, but people do want to hang out, and it's just a fun time to share God's word and get to know each other better. And this Wednesday night's going to be very interactive. The practical aspects of our finances, it's going to be really cool. So we are at 3700 Almerton Road in Clearwater, easy to find in the same plaza as Five Guys and Poncheros and a little Greek restaurant and Papa John's, and just a really cool little area. It's a new area. Our building is brand new, and it's just cool to have put it together back a few months back and to be growing in it. And God's added to our number in 2010, and we're believing that he will add more in 2011. And our service times are Sunday mornings at 11 and Wednesday night at 7. And then, of course, every Sunday live, we have this radio show on tantalk1340.com. And if you miss it live, you can listen to it anytime tomorrow on. We have all of 2010 shows on our website, beaconofhopeministries.com. So, Carol, that's what I wanted to say about all of that. So.
You know, I think it's also important that people realize through the internet that they can reach you
yes.
by the internet or by phone. And if they have a conversation that they need to ask you about or tell you or something, that can be done through the website, too.
Yes.
And, you know, I can be reached by email. I'm certainly not involved with the ministry in the way that you are. But, you know, it's not impossible to reach me by email if somebody would choose to do that. So.
Absolutely. They can just send me an email at pastor@beaconofhopeministries.com, and I can see that you get it. And you do a lot of counseling, and you're on the phone a lot with people. And we do offer counseling at Beacon of Hope. You and I have counseled together for a long time, and it is something that we do. So we praise God for that opportunity, and we are talking about prosperity right now. Carol, I had another series planned for January, and God said to put that off till February and teach this in January. And I'll tell you, I was so excited today to preach on and introduce the series today at Beacon of Hope. I mean, it's an excited time where we are in the ministry right now. God's got great things in store. He's adding to our number, and people are excited about the Word of God, and that's what it's all about.
Well, at the period of time that this new year began, people typically like to make resolutions that they're going to change certain circumstances or add things or maybe delete some things in their life. I think more and more we would like to believe in our hearts and in the congregation of Beacon of Hope and the pastors that people are going to put Beacon of Hope in their mind as well, that when they're planning their life for this 2011, that they will realize if they don't have a home church, if they
right.
don't have a pastor they can speak to, if they don't have a place to study the Bible, I'm praying that they will recognize their need and begin to seek it out from Beacon of Hope. And if nothing more than this radio program every Sunday coming on at 4 o'clock and lasting till 6
right.
with Tan Talk Radio, if nothing more than the fact that it becomes their church.
Right.
If somebody's
exactly.
at work and they cannot get to church at their regular church or maybe have an established one, they can establish it through Beacon of Hope, if nothing more than online.
Exactly. Thanks for sharing that. And, Carol, this is one of your favorite songs, I know, by Selah, His Eye is on the Sparrow.
What do I feel discouraged? Do the shadows come? And why does my heart feel lonely? In love for heaven and toil. When Jesus sees because I'm free.
Praise God. His eyes on the show.
You know, you wonder when you hear that song.
Woo!
And it brings you to the fact that how insignificant we find ourselves,
mm-hmm.
and yet how significant he thinks we are.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, just look how he fed Elijah with the ravens, you know?
Yes.
And his eyes on the sparrow. I mean, Jesus said that. You guys, you know, you think you're not important? I mean, I know all the birds, you know? That's
right.
What he said. You know, I can provide for you.
And the lilies of the field.
Oh, absolutely. And we're not done here in 1 Kings 17, but I want to run back there for just a minute because I feel like God is saying that. Let's go back to Matthew chapter 6 a moment, even though that was not in the plan. But, you know, Carol, we never know what's in the plan, do we?
You and I never know. I mean, once we get together, we do not know. It's because we're both receptive to whatever Christ would bring.
Yes, absolutely. Let's look at verse 25 of Matthew chapter 6. I'm going to read to you from the Message Bible, and it says this. If you decide for God, living a life of God worship, it follows that you don't fuss about what's on the table at mealtimes. That's interesting, isn't it?
That's right.
I mean, you know, even if a raven's feeding you like Elijah, or whether the clothes in your closet are in fashion, there is far more to your life than the food you put in your stomach, more to your outer appearance than the clothes you hang on your body. Look at the birds, free and unfettered, not tied down to a job description. I love that. Not tied down to a job description. That's the birds, by the way. Careless in the care of God. And you count far more to him than birds. Has anyone, by fussing in front of the mirror, ever gotten taller by so much as an inch? All this time and money wasted on fashion, do you think it makes that much difference? Instead of looking at the fashions, walk out into the fields and look at the wildflowers. They never primp or shop, but have you ever seen color and design quite like that? The 10 best-dressed men and women in the country look shabby alongside them. If God gives such attention to the appearance of wildflowers, most of which you may have never seen, don't you think he'll attend to you, take pride in you, do his best for you? What I'm trying to do here is to get you to relax, to not be so preoccupied with getting so that you can respond to God's giving. Couple more lines. People who don't know God the way he works fuss over these things. But you know both God and how he works. Steep your life in God reality, God initiative, God provisions. Don't worry about missing out. You'll find all your everyday human concerns will be met. Wow. That is Matthew chapter 6, verse 25 to 33. And what do you think of that, Carol?
Well, it just lets me know that each day brings its own sorrows and its own joys.
Right.
And I can either wallow in the sorrow, or I can live in the joy.
Mm-hmm.
And in order to do that, I have to proclaim in my life the importance of God in my life, and accept the fact that I am as equally important in his life.
Amen.
Watches over me. If he's going to watch over a bird flying through a sky or landing in a tree or feeding by a creek, he's going to watch me.
Exactly.
I'm made in his likeness of his image. He is going to watch over me. He tells me all through Scripture that he's going to provide for me. And, you know, in John 14:27, it says, my peace I leave you, my peace I give to you, and
Amen.
Let not your heart be troubled. We
exactly.
can't sit and worry about something. We have no control over it. He owns all the sheep on the hill, all the cattle on the hill, all the birds of the air, all the flowers of the earth. We are sojourners, and that's all we really are. We're sojourners passing through a foreign land to get to our God and to live eternally in heaven with him.
You know, you're exactly right, and I find it so fascinating that Jesus himself tells this big discourse in Matthew 6 and basically says exactly what Elijah said to the widow lady in 1 Kings 2:17, where Elijah said to the widow lady, don't worry about this. You know, don't worry about this at all. Carol, I don't know about you, but I think that worry, in fact, I don't know. Do you know a good definition for worry? I mean,
well, basically, worry comes from an old German word and an old English word, and they simply mean to strangle or to choke.
Oh, my. Really? I didn't know that.
You strangle the possibilities of joy and blessings.
Okay.
If you worry about something, you choke the life out of yourself, out of your own heart, when you are terribly concerned about the things of your own personal life, and you take it on as your mission to change it without asking for divine help. You strangle and choke your own heart, your own air. Your breathing becomes different. Your body rises up in angst. There is no peace within your body.
Worry.
Until you finally learn to let go of all of it and begin to realize that it means, you know, when you're talking about the worry thing, it means to become double-minded, to divide.
That's true.
And we can't live that way. We can't live in a joyful state as well as a worry state at the same time.
Well, you're right about that. James 1 says a double-minded man is unstable, or woman, unstable in all their ways. And so you lose your stability when you are double-minded, when you're on the side of worry, and yet you're trying to trust God, and you're going, oh, I need to trust God, but God, what if you don't do this, and what if you don't do that? And it's human nature, don't you think, Carol, to slip into worry? But we've got to have our worry guard up more than I think most people do, if you know what I mean. You know, like, what am I trying to say? Like a Stainmaster carpet. You know what a Stainmaster carpet is? You know, where they've already sprayed that carpet with some chemical that makes it easy to clean up spills. You see it advertised on TV. Okay, there's already a film or a layer of some chemical on that carpet that if you spill this juice, you can kind of blot it up real easily, and it's going to, you know, it's not going to show the stain. You know what I'm saying? That a guard,
you know,
against the stain.
A really good analogy, because when you're saying that you've got this stain master or any other thing that's protected, or such as that you can clean it instantly, or it won't scar, it won't mar, it won't stain.
Right.
You know, that's what happens. God cleans up our spills.
Right.
When we make a spill because we have not been faithful, we have not been trustworthy, we're liars, thieves, and cheats, and full of sin and all of that, and we have not decided to change yet, with one sweep of the hand, with one blink of an eye, he can change all those spills into glory.
Absolutely, he can. And let's look at another dimension of that. We so often slip into that stain, let's say, because worry is a sin. Okay. And it is so easy to slip into fear and worry. They go hand in hand. They're like cousins who hold hands, fear and worry. It is so easy to get into that worry. And Elijah said to the widow, don't worry about this. Okay. And the passage we just read in Matthew 6, Jesus says, don't worry about this. Don't worry about your basic needs or your daily needs. Don't worry. So, Carol, it's like we need to get some of that shield, that Stainmaster protectant over our emotions and our minds, so that when we try to slip into worry, we have a like an alarm that goes off. You know what I'm saying? That says, wait a minute, no, you're not going down that path.
Well, you know, to worry is to assume, pardon me, a responsibility that we don't necessarily have to assume because it isn't ours.
Okay.
Excuse me. Failing to recognize, you know, that God is bigger than anything you and I have ever gone through. Anything ever Tom, Dick, Harry, Martha, Jane.
Right.
Anybody's ever gone through. God is bigger than whatever the issue is.
Right.
And when we assume the responsibility of trying to clean up our mess,
right,
the spill that we've made, we make a bigger mess sometimes.
Exactly.
Because we become more enthralled with it, and we bring more people into it. We bring more conversation, more gossip, more talk, more doubt, more self-loathing into it, when all we have to do is, like you say, go, no, folks, take a deep breath and stand back. I am the stain master. I can clean any spot that you've got on your soul. I can clean any spot that you've got on your skin. I can clean any sin that you've ever labored in. Come to me, ask me to forgive you, and accept my grace.
So, Carol, what you're saying is that when we find that we have slipped into worry and fear, we need to immediately say, God, I am sorry, because that's sin. Because that's the opposite of trusting God. When we're worrying and we're afraid, we have slipped into sin. And, you know, a lot of us don't like to hear that. We really don't want to hear that worry is a sin, but it is. You know, I grew up with and I love her, my dear mother, but she always said, well, somebody's got to worry, so I'm the one. I'll worry for all of you.
Mm-hmm. Well, look, people carry around with them.
Yeah,
they carry
baggage.
Around worry beads, and they will rub those stones until they're so smooth they become slick.
That's right.
You know,
I've heard of that.
Transferring their mental worry into a stone
that
they can rub and caress and say, oh, please, stone, help me. Or,
well, you know, that stone's not doing a darn thing for them.
Not a darn thing. But one thing that's a reminder to me is that when I wear my cross, which I'm not wearing much now simply because I wear this lifeline support thing, but when I wear my cross, that I would find myself becoming distressed about a situation that might be mine or someone else's, and I'm trying to, in my mind, figure out a way to help them get to God in a different way or to scripture that I might need to transfer to them or whatever. I just find my hand going automatically to the cross on my neck, and I'm going, I can do anything.
Yes,
because I have the person who hung on that piece of wood. I have him as a personal friend.
I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me.
That's right.
So we see Elijah saying to the widow, don't worry about this. I'm back in 1 Kings 17 now. He says to her back in about verse, 13. Elijah said to her, don't worry about a thing. A thing. Don't worry about anything. Don't worry. Go ahead and do what you've said. But first, make a small biscuit for me, bring it back here, go ahead and make a meal. And then he tells her what's going to happen, that she's not going to have any lack, she's going to be provided for. And then we find in verse 15 that it happened exactly the way Elijah said. But I want to look at verse 15. She went right off and did it just as Elijah asked. And there's the obedience. She did not sit around. And it says she went right off and did it. She did not sit around and debate it for days. Carol, don't you think debating it and what some people call, I'm going to pray about it, sounds really holy and spiritual, and a lot of times it's just a delay. That
sure
God wants us to jump up and do.
Of saying, okay, here's the deal. I'm buying myself some time until I come up with a real answer. Or I'm buying myself some time until I can get the finances to do so-and-so. I love this one. You know, the check is in the mail.
All right, yeah.
And quite often it is in the mail, and unfortunately our postal system, sometimes does mess things up. But it's kind of like we're withdrawing from our spiritual bank.
Right.
And holding it in abeyance.
Right.
Until we can actually get our act together enough to fully resort to the fact that we need to get on our knees and say, okay, I'm here to tell you, I can't do it. I've tried. Lord, you know I've tried.
Right.
If anybody could have tried, it's been me.
Yeah.
But then we have to say, it's apparent to me now, after all these fretful times, the gray hair, the sweating, and the angst in my stomach, and the angst that I've created in my family, my friends, and so forth, Lord, I might not want to live on these words long, but I need you.
Yes, exactly. When we get to that point.
You see right here what happens in 15.
Yeah.
She
went right.
Immediately.
She did
she
it.
She answered immediately.
Yeah.
She went and got the stuff and brought it back immediately.
That's right.
You know, and she fed the prophet. Well, if we feed the prophet the love that we have for him, the prophet being Jesus at this point,
right.
If we feed him with everything we have,
right.
With our soul, with our heart, our mind, all of our creation, look how quickly he will respond to us.
Oh, absolutely, because that's what he's looking for in us. That's that verse where we just were in Matthew 6, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things shall be added unto us. And really, this is that whole concept played out in 1 Kings 17, and she, the widow, obeyed and did just as Elijah asked, and it turned out as he said. And in the Message Bible, Carol, there it says, daily food for her and her family. The daily provision. Doesn't that remind you of the prayer that Jesus prayed also in Matthew 6,
yep.
where the disciples said, teach us to pray? And
yep.
Jesus said, well, pray like this. Our Father, which art in heaven,
yep.
hallowed be thy name. And
yep.
then you go on down, give us this day our daily bread.
That's right. And sometimes it might just be bread. But you know something interesting about bread? It's life-sustaining.
It is, isn't it?
What he asked for.
Yeah.
Look what Elijah asked for.
Mm-hmm.
Give me bread and give me water.
Mm-hmm.
The two things that will sustain life.
That's exactly right. He didn't ask for anything fancy.
Quail won't sustain it.
Mm-hmm.
And you can eat quail. And I used to eat a lot of quail.
Yeah.
Because I raised quail at one point in time. And you can eat quail all day long. But if that's all you have, it isn't going to sustain you like bread.
Right. And the manna,
like water.
The manna that God provided for the children of Israel for 40 years as they walked around the same mountain, they got fresh manna every morning, did they not?
Every morning.
Except for
remember
Sunday.
Remember what happened? He
Sabbath.
Said, don't keep anything. Don't hoard it up. It will come to you in the morn. And
right.
if you hoard it up, and instead of walking around picking it up and eating it, as they were instructed to do,
right.
if they hoarded it and think, well, and there were some who did, I'm sure,
mm-hmm.
that, because they wouldn't have mentioned it otherwise, but you know, I'm going to hoard it back because, gosh, what if there's not enough tonight? Or, gosh,
right.
you know old Betty over there, she really likes to pig things down. Or look at Hiram over there. And when they would hoard it, overnight it would rot.
Exactly.
And oil and worms would get in it.
Isn't that interesting? Because they didn't have refrigeration or any of those things. But, interestingly, God said, I don't want you out there gathering manna on the Sabbath. So the day before the Sabbath, I'll give you enough for 2 days, and it did not rot or anything. What a huge miracle. That's found in the book of Exodus.
Yes.
It's just incredible, wonderful story about God's provision for the children of Israel. 40 years they walked around the same mountain, yet God provided for them. And the manna, they've said, tasted kind of like a little cake, a honey cake, something like that. It had some sweetness to it. And obviously, it was probably granola, Carol, or yogurt or something. Something real good.
It could have been, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, but, you know, he knew what they needed, and he provided what they needed.
Right.
And the human body is more than two-thirds water, so you need water. You
right.
can live 3 days without water
yep.
before you start getting into some deep trouble.
Exactly. So
you can live about 2 weeks without any kind of food, that hard food actually going in.
Right.
But you must have that water in order to sustain yourself. And don't you find it interesting that we are told by physicians that water is the most important thing we can drink, and nutritionists
right.
are saying the same thing. I liken it to the one thing we've got to have is water, and Jesus brings the water. Jesus is the living water.
Exactly.
Isn't that
yes.
interesting?
Yes,
and
he says that.
It's the parallels about it, and it just becomes more and more and more in everything we say, do, eat, sleep, drink. We find Jesus is there.
Absolutely.
He's providing.
Yes.
You know, even in the water we drink.
Absolutely. In fact, it's in John chapter 7 where Jesus stands up at the great feast. And I'm looking for it exactly, but now that you bring it up, I think this really, yeah, here what it, John 7:37. On the final and climactic day of the feast, Jesus took a stand and he cried out, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Rivers of living water will brim and spill out of the depths of anyone who believes in me this way, just as the scripture says. And he said this in regard to the Spirit of the living God, those who believed in him were about to receive. And so he was basically saying, are you thirsty for God? And, you know, I think that's a question that God asks us now, even in relation to our finances, Carol, because our finances should just be an outgrowth of us trusting God, seeking God, having a thirst for God and for his word. And I started all this, and you probably couldn't hear the beginning of the show when I started and said, this is all based, this teaching, on the fact that God's word must be the final authority in our lives. And we have to get hungry and thirsty for the truth of God's word where our finances are concerned.
We do. And we have to realize that there are things that we can do in some circumstances to make our financial situations a little better.
Sure.
But it all boils down to trusting God. We've got to trust him for every single thing.
Exactly.
If he's going to take care of, help you take care of your body, he's going to take care of your finances.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
He might sit you down in some way and have a nice hard talk with you.
Right.
If you're a person who gambles money away or just literally burns money up or throws it away, because that's not being a good steward of what you've been given.
Exactly. And that's part of the teaching here on prosperity is learning how to be a good steward with the what we have. I mean, this lady, this widow could have said, wait a minute, that's all I have? I just have a flour and oil? Forget it. I'm just going to curl up and die.
That's
you
right.
know, but instead, she chose to use what she had and feed the prophet every day and feed herself and her son. And that went on for over 3 years. You know, that it never ran out. Wow, what a miracle of multiplication. Actually, this is the first food miracle recorded in the Bible where God multiplied food. You know, we saw Jesus do it in the New Testament.
Yes.
This is the first time in the Old Testament that we see the multiplication of food in this story right here in 1 Kings 17. Isn't that cool?
It is very cool. And one of the things I personally feel that he expects us as Christians to do and as congregations of churches is to be able to take care of other people. Now, whether that means spiritually giving them food and the living water, or whether it physically means giving them food and the living water.
Right.
When we find the need, we are supposed to take care of it. I know one of the churches that I attended up here for a while had all of a sudden one day we just kept seeing people hanging around across the street waiting for somebody to come by to offer a day job, an hour job, or whatever. It was not it was a labor pool, so you know it was not a permanent job in most circumstances, and they were there every morning because the quicker you got there, you more likely would be one of the people chosen for the day job.
Right.
Many of them were people with children and families. And so the church got this wild idea. One person in the church got the wild idea, why don't we feed those people?
Wow.
They're standing out here in this horrible weather, good, bad, or indifferent, rain or shine. And most of them, we went over and talked to them, and most of them had not had any supper.
Right.
Say if it were the weekend and it had now been Monday, they had not eaten since Friday.
Right.
Because they had passed what little they had on to their children.
Mm-hmm.
So it behooves us to take the prosperity as a congregation that we have received as individuals. It behooves us to always do what Jesus says. Think of other people first.
Amen. Amen.
What their circumstances are. And, you know, some people are in dire circumstances right now. And the living word of God is what they need. If their life is in addiction, if their life is in prostitution, if their life is in gambling or anything else that keeps them restricted from the love and the word of Jesus, we need to help remove that by the living water. And that is to plant, like this radio program,
right.
to plant scriptures, to plant people with Bibles, and to just bring them in and sit them down in a warm place on a cold day and say, sit and talk to us. Let me get you a soda. Let me get you a cookie or a cracker.
Absolutely. It's about giving, and we're going to talk more about that in this series. Let's do this song by the Katinas, Believe.
If you choose to believe.
God, it all boils down to believing, and that's what we're talking about on this show, Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries today. Carol, it's all about believing, and you know this widow in 1 Kings 17 had to believe, number one, that this man, Elijah, was who he said he was, prophet from God. Although he didn't say, I'm Elijah, prophet from God, he just, when he first ran into her, he just said to her, you know, I need a drink. Give me a little drink of water, you know, and that's where the whole conversation began. And she recognized that he was a person sent from God. Don't you want people to recognize that we are sent from God, that individually, that we're here for a reason on this planet, you know? Are you there?
Yes.
Okay.
You're breaking up a little bit, but.
Okay.
You know, I think that we need to understand that we have the power within us.
Right.
To walk hand in hand with Jesus and make a difference in the world.
Yes.
We definitely do. And I think it's a responsibility of a Christian to do that.
Right. Absolutely. Well, that's what Elijah was doing. He was making a difference here, even though, I mean, he was so in tune with the voice of God that when God said, go tell the king that there's not going to be any water for a while, no rain. I mean, Elijah did it even though he knew that was probably not going to be good news. You know, there's going to be drought coming. You
that
know,
isn't something they wanted to hear.
No,
for sure.
Absolutely not. And but, you know, here what I see in this story is I see Elijah's obedience. I see him going out on a limb of faith and going to the brook and believing that God told him the truth and that the ravens would be there to feed him. And we know that happened. And then when God said, okay, it's time to move on, let's go to this little village, and now I've got a widow that's going to provide for you. I mean, that sounds great, except the widow had nothing except these two little tiny, you know, morsels of flour and of oil, you know? But yet she had an obedient heart, Carol.
And that's what it takes. It takes being willing to accept the position in life that God has given you to work for him.
Exactly.
We each and one have a purpose. I know
right.
sometimes it's really difficult to look at some people in our world and say, goodness gracious, do you really earnestly believe that whoever it is over there, the rogue or the roguette, really has a purpose in God's kingdom? And I have to tell you, I really do believe that.
Right.
Do they know it at that moment? Probably not. Do I pray that they find that before they leave this earth? I certainly do. I don't want anybody to leave here and not know who God is.
Exactly.
And I know that there have been thousands before, millions, and there will be thousands long after I'm gone. But I find it my mission in life, as well as yours in the church, to include as many people as possible and take them to the brook, show them what the fresh water looks like, how
right.
cool and refreshing it is.
Right.
When you're tired and weary, lie down underneath that tree.
Exactly.
And you know, kind of kick back and let God just overflow you with his blessings and his dwelling spirit in yours. And
well,
accept the manna that he sends.
Absolutely.
You may not be eating steak every day, but if you're eating, it's because of him that he has somehow gotten the food to you, sent it to you, had one of his prophets bring it to you, or one of his servants.
Or a job or whatever. God provides for us in so many different ways. But I think so often we get caught up in, let's say it's a job that the paycheck is coming in. We get caught up in that natural provision, whether it be a job. Deuteronomy 8:18 says that it is God that gives us the power to get wealth, that he may confirm his covenant with us. Now, I think so often we get caught up in the provision being a earthly job, which God uses earthly jobs to provide for us. Okay, but so often we neglect to say, thank you, God, for that job. Thank you, God, for my paycheck. One thing I said to our people at Beacon today, Carol, was that starting this week, whether they get their paychecks as a paper paycheck or that maybe it's electronically deposited or however a paycheck or income comes in, that I want us to really begin to thank God for that. If it's online, if your paycheck is deposited electronically, when you go to your bank statement or you go online and you see that your employer put your money in, to thank God and give him the glory and give him the praise for that provision, because God wants us to acknowledge that he really is the ultimate source of our provision. You know what I'm saying?
I do. And sometimes our prosperity, even in receiving a paycheck, however you receive it, we have to look really beyond that.
Right.
And what is behind it.
Right.
You know, we are blessed and we are prosperous in many ways because of having a position or a paycheck coming in. And we should always look to see where we can plant something. We may be planted in a job we absolutely hate, but there's a reason we have to be there. Maybe it's to help another person find their way in life to Christ. Or maybe it's to bring solace to somebody else. Or heaven forbid, to show us that all of our belly aching and all of our nonsensical me situation, we can look through our company or office or whatever and see someone who is far worse off than we are, and yet who is accepting it and living through it and praising God for what we don't even think they have. And for them, it's a blessing.
Exactly.
I know with my paycheck teaching, like any teacher, I don't think we ever receive enough money financially in a paycheck to supplant a teacher for life or even in a month. But what a teacher, a true teacher who hears the word of God and knows they're there for a reason, it isn't always about the paycheck.
Right. I think a lot of teachers it isn't. Right. Exactly.
That you can take to make a difference in somebody's life. You know, when somebody throws somebody else away.
Right.
Teachers are there to pick them up.
Right. Exactly.
Now, there are some who are not so good. But the teacher there that's hearing the word of God and has accepted that as God's calling in their life at that moment, they are always looking for ways to bring him elevated and to do what they hear in their ear from him.
Exactly. And I think your point is well taken, that so often God uses the ordinary in our lives, but it doesn't mean it didn't come from God. In other words, let's say it positively. That teacher may have been planted in your life by God to bring blessing and to bring wisdom and instruction in your life. And in this situation, the prophet Elijah was in this widow's life to provide for her. And yet God is the one behind that whole story in 1 Kings 17, who is really the one that engineered all of this and said, I'm going to teach these two, let's say Elijah and the widow, but now look how many millions of people, including us today on this radio show, have been taught the principles of God through the story of Elijah and that widow, because they obeyed and said, okay, we will let God use us in this circumstance. You know?
And look what must have happened in her village.
Yeah.
Her family and her small village, her large village.
Yeah.
So we're seeing this poor woman, this widow, oh, bless her soul.
Uh-huh.
She has nothing. She can't feed her boy. You know, she's just a woe is me kind of person. But they see when Elijah comes and she hears the voice of taking care of him and doing for him.
Right.
They begin to see her prosper.
Exactly.
And it is not of her own making.
It's God.
No, she certainly didn't go out and get fine silk and start making robes for people.
Right. It just says that God provided. She went right off and did it. I'm in verse 15. And just as Elijah asked, and it turned out, as he said, daily food for her and her family. The jar of meal didn't run out, and the bottle of oil didn't become empty. God's promise fulfilled to the letter exactly as Elijah had delivered it.
Yeah. Can't you imagine her neighbors coming over and saying, what? You have a full jar of oil?
How'd that happen? Yeah.
How did you get that? You're a widow. You have no money.
Yeah, exactly.
What do you mean you have flour? You've got bags and bags of flour, bowls and bowls of flour.
Right. Right.
I don't have that. How can I get that? And she could, you know, she begin to profit her neighbors by saying, listen, this is how you do it. This is what you do. But you first must believe and you first must hear the word and surrender to it.
Yeah, it just never ran out, you know. I'm in Lamentations 3. And, Bill, I'm going to ask you to go back and play track 2 again, Great is Thy Faithfulness. Carol, I don't know, you were probably not able to hear that, were you?
Yes.
Okay, we're going to play that again, then we're going to wrap this up somehow.
Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not thy compassions, they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever will be. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. Provided.
God. Great is thy faithfulness. I love that song. And it comes from Lamentations 3, verse 22, when God says, God's loyal love couldn't have run out. His merciful love couldn't have dried up. They're created new every morning. How great your faithfulness. I'm sticking with God. I'll say it over and over. He's all I've got left. God proves to be good to the man who patiently waits, to the woman who diligently seeks. It's a good thing to quietly hope and quietly hope for help from God. Carol, you got some final thoughts? I know it's been kind of a crazy radio show today with some of the technical problems, but I believe we're getting the word out that God wants to get out. And what would you like to say to our audience to kind of sum all this up we've been talking about?
I would like to say that I think we should look around us in our families and friends and acquaintances and even people that we may not really know and begin to look and see what they're doing for God and how it affects our lives and how we can affect their lives in a positive direction. And I'm quoting from a book called Daily Word, and it says, each moment of every day is a new opportunity for me to discover more of God's blessings in my life.
Mm-hmm.
But I get myself and my own concerns out of the way and accept God's love and blessings, my life is enriched in every way.
Amen.
And Proverbs 28:25 tells me that whoever trusts in the Lord will be enriched. I cannot tell you how much I feel that my life is blessed. My personal life, my spiritual life, all of my life is blessed because I truly do accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior and the director of my life. He prospers me in ways that I truly do not even have an understanding.
Right.
To know how it does. You know, financially, he takes care of me.
Right.
If I need something, I tell him I need it.
Right.
And somehow, it will appear at the time I need it.
Right.
I have faith in that. I know that if he's going to watch that sparrow fly, he's going to take care of me.
Exactly.
I'm here for a purpose and a reason, and it's to praise him and to teach others about him.
Amen.
So I feel like, you know, God wants me to be blissful and delightful and a delight. He wants me to be playful. He wants me to be carefree,
mm-hmm.
and he wants me to be happy.
Mm-hmm.
He wants to give me the desires of my heart.
Amen.
He wants to show me a new treasure each day.
Yeah.
He wants me to live and laugh and love and tell other people about him and live as if I truly do know him.
Right.
And he wants me to follow my dreams that he has set in front of me and mm-hmm. to reach constantly higher, because some of the dreams are so lofty I can't imagine them, but he knows what they are.
Amen.
And he wants to give me the joy of discovery each
yes.
and every day.
Yes.
Every time that sun rises and the sun goes down, I have spent a day of discovery.
Yes. Amen.
And I find myself drawing closer to him and seeking him more and wanting to be in his word more and more. So for this, I'm eternally grateful.
And that's prosperity. You know, when you're all those things that you were just saying, when we walk through our day knowing the presence of the Lord, knowing that God is right there, that his word says he'll never leave us or forsake us, that he goes nowhere. We're the ones that move away from him, but he doesn't go anywhere. He's still there. He's still waiting on us to come back and say, hey, how are you? You know, and when you really articulated that very well, all the blessings that God has for us on a daily basis, and there is no place for worry or fear. There is no place for doubt that God's going to take care of us because our provision is rooted in his great love for us, Carol.
And his grace and his mercy.
Yes.
See,
amen.
If we couldn't accept his grace and we did not understand his mercy, we would be miserable, miserable
mm-hmm.
creatures. And there are so many people out there who are living that kind of a life because
right.
they catch into it and hold on to that thought, you know?
Right. Yeah.
And I would like to take a real quick point of privilege. We lost a friend from the gathering place in Atlanta, Georgia. Glenda Ferguson passed away Saturday.
Oh, yes.
And she and her partner, Frieda St. Germain, 33 years together, worshiping Christ, taking the word in song and scripture, and living their lives as a light to Christ. And we all know that today that she is joyful in heaven. She has reached her home.
Yes.
And for everybody that knew her and loved her, God bless.
Yes. Thank you for mentioning that. You know, and we all do affect each other's lives, and she affected your life, and a blessing that she was. And, you know, we did the song a few minutes ago, His Eye Is on the Sparrow, that, and God takes care of all those details in our lives and finally brings us to our eternal reward, and that is with Him forever in heaven. And we praise God for that knowledge. Carol, it's been great to have you on the show again today. We're sorry for all the problems, but I know we'll have...
Satan cannot win.
Absolutely.
Just, you and I just look at him and laugh and say, get out of here. We've got another
exactly.
thing. We have the blessings of Christ to get this message out.
Amen. And it'll be up on our website tomorrow. So, Carol, thank you so much. You're a blessing to this ministry and a blessing to the radio team and to our listening audience. Have a good evening, and I'm going to do a wrap-up here. So.
Sounds very good. God
okay.
bless and take care. And thank you so much, Bill and the engineering crew.
Yeah, they're in there. They're in there working on it right now. So
appreciate it so much.
Yes. So anyway, what we've been saying today on Living the Good Life is we've started this new series, The Power of Prosperity, that God does want to supply your needs, that He does want to provide for you, that He loves you. His provision is rooted in His great love for you. And that we have got to come to a point where we really understand that. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. God's a giver. He gave His only begotten Son that whosoever believes in Him should not perish but have eternal life. If you are not sure of your eternal destiny, you need to contact us. Feel free, pastor@beaconofhopeministries.com. And I can talk to you on the phone or on email, and we can pray with you. All it is saying, Jesus, come into my heart. Live in my heart by faith. Forgive me for all that I've said or done that was not pleasing to you. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and that God raised Him from the dead. And therefore, the Word says in Romans 10:9-10, then you will be saved. So this has been a great opportunity to share God's word with you. We will continue this topic next week and get into more detail on the power of prosperity. And remember that if you're in the Clearwater area, we'd love for you to join us for a service Sunday mornings at 11 and Wednesday night at 7. God bless you. It's been Pastor Marcia McAllister and my good friend Carol from Beacon of Hope Ministries bringing you Words of Life this day. God bless you. Have a great week. If you have a prayer request, write us at prayers@beaconofhopeministries.com. Your prayer, your need will be answered. God will meet your need because that's what He does. He loves us so very much. Have a great week. Talk to you next week.